feel it burning deep in my soul. I know it's time for me to go.
Welcome to Publish or Perish FM, social selling in the age of content marketing. This is the podcast for innovative and scale-seeking sales leaders and CMOs. Here's your host, Jeff Leo Herman. No longer grazing in this field I once laid. I wanna taste, let go of haste. Blood in the water, oh, I will not hesitate because well, I'm an animal. I'm on my belly full. I will not go to my grave with this inside of me.
Hey, it's Jeff, and welcome to episode 23 of Publisher Perish FM. Today is Thursday, March 17th, 2016. Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day.
You too.
Thank you. Hey, who's that? It's Haley. Hey guys, guess what? Once again, thrilled to be here with you today. We're focused on one thing. It's how we scale relationships and scale revenue. And I have another special guest with me today. It's Haley Height.
Hi.
How you doing today, Haley?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Glad you're wearing green.
Yes.
It's very festive.
Of course.
That's
have
good.
To do that.
That's right. And Haley's here to help us focus on attraction and repelling, right? That's really what we're talking about. Specifically, or in marketing parlance, right, persona-based targeting. How do we attract the right prospects and repel the wrong ones? And that's so critical in this world we live in of information-overloaded prospects. So just thought we'd start with a quick life story about attraction and repelling. And this all boils down to sales productivity and how you can be highly productive by having the right conversations with the right people. So about 20 years ago, I met a girl at work, and she had a giant cookie, one of those like Mrs. Fields cookies. And I thought, gosh, that's like my perfect woman. Well, here we are 20 years later, I'm married to this person still, my wife Amy. And so that's just a really stupid attraction story, but she had a giant cookie and I like giant cookies. So that's just the notion of putting forward the right content to really attract and signal to your prospect that you're the right person to think about. So the reason why we're drilling into persona-based targeting today to drive sales productivity is back in episode 21, we talked about the top 10 reasons content marketing drives sales productivity. And reason number 3 was cold prospects are not so cold anymore due to persona-based targeting. And we want to unpack that. What does that really mean? And that's, of course, why Haley is with us today. And Haley is an expert in building personas and all things content marketing. And it's just fantastic to have you here.
Oh, yeah. So, thanks for having me.
Sure. So I guess the question is, let's, we dug into this a little bit. Why is it important to attract and repel? We want the best clients that close the fastest at the highest rate, right? I mean, that's what it boils down to. We want to work with customers that want to work with us, and we want to have a smooth and quick sales cycle. And so if you take a step back and think about an overall, like think about our lead sources, like all of our lead sources. So as a business, we get leads from outbound prospecting to the extent it's old school phone and email, or if you're embracing social selling, that's wonderful. Inbound leads are becoming more and more critical, and that's how to leverage your digital footprint and social footprint to drive leads. You have referrals, networking, of course, and then lastly, trade shows and events. So I wanted to just set the table with those 4 broad lead sources and really drill into one in particular, inbound lead source. So the inbound lead source, so we track all these lead sources here at Fathom, of course, and quarter after quarter, year after year, inbound leads consistently close the fastest at the highest rate. And you may, why? Why do inbound leads close faster? Like, what's so important? And in what's the magic weapon or the secret sauce? It's content, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, content is truly, it's designed with a persona in mind, tracked across the buyer's journey, once again, to attract the right clients and repel the bad ones. And so I guess, the beautiful thing about inbound leads and content is it works on your behalf 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it never takes a break. I mean, what is that the spirit, Haley, of say, inbound and especially content marketing specifically, like how does that drive that productivity?
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that you're that content that's for the right people at the right time in the right place is always available to them when it's convenient to them. I mean, all of this really comes down to your audience. And that I think that's why it's so effective. It's because it's on your audience's terms.
Right, right, right. And they're effectively signaling, or they're leading the way effectively. They've been so empowered with all this great information and great content out there that to attract and convert them happens much more effectively. And you know, you can even fast track leads, right? So if you put forward the right content mm-hmm. based upon the persona, and they like what they see, there's a high degree of self-selection. And talk about efficient. Like if you can put forward really compelling content that's very attractive to the right people, and just as importantly, repels the wrong people, and that those right people fill out a form, they've consumed so much content and they've built an affinity with the brand effectively?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's one of the main things that can happen from developing personas and using those as the basis for your content, is developing that trust and that appreciation type relationship with them, and that's going to help you out in the long run.
Right, right, right. So that content, it's set up in such a way that it kind of works on your behalf, right? If it's developed well, it works on your behalf.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it's set up the right way with personas and your audience in mind, it's going to be answering their questions along the way to the point where you don't really have to do much because that content's out there for them. They're absorbing it, and they're going to come to you.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, so you said the magic word, right? Personas. Content built specifically the persona. So let's just dig into that. What is a persona? That term's thrown around all the time. It's kind of like Kleenex. It feels a little generic. I mean, could you explain what a persona is, Haley?
Sure. So a persona is a semi-fictional representation of your target audience. So it's designed to give you a visual depiction and an understanding of your audience's pain points, their motivations, and their buyer's journey so that you can build relationships with them. I think the key there is semi-fictional because it should be based on research, should be based on data, but it's also that visual depiction that's not necessarily a real person. You know, it's not completely designed around a specific person, but around themes that have to do with a group of people.
Wow. So how do you collect this data? Like, how do you research?
There's multiple components to research if you're doing it right. It should rely on quantitative research. So, you know, things from Google Analytics, you know, how people are interacting with your existing content and your website in general, and then demographic info, geographic information, all that stuff. But then a big component that I think a lot of people miss is the qualitative side. You know, you need to know what's going on in their heads. You need to know what they're thinking, what questions they're asking, where they're at online, where they're asking those questions, the touch points and things like that. And a lot of that can be found through things like usability tests, customer surveys, market surveys, different things that get into your customers' heads. Right. So those are the two pieces that I use as the foundation to my personas.
So it's almost like emotional. You're looking for emotional responses or their emotional composition.
Yep.
So you can really get into their mental state.
Yeah, you want to know, you know, what's triggering them to search for particular things, or what's triggering them to need something related to your product or service, or you know.
So if you then know their emotional state, and even by it's interesting. The persona is about their behaviors and motivations, right? And their emotional state and what they're thinking. And then the buyer's journey is, where are they? So we've thrown out the buyer, you know, lots of different buyer's journey, but it's status quo, problem recognition, research solutions, consider, compare, decision, right? That's roughly.
Yep.
Did I miss anything in the buyer's journey?
I don't think so.
All right, good. Yeah,
off my head.
From memory, how about that? So why does having a persona and that qualitative and quantitative perspective and the buyer's journey, are there like power words that you use, or, you know, in this notion of attracting and repelling?
What do you mean?
Like, I guess word choices. So does it really just boil down to word choice to elicit a response? I mean, when you're designing content that compels someone to take action?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, for me, it's mostly just making sure that any content you produce answers their questions throughout each of the buying stages. So, you know, they're going to have different questions when they're in research mode compared to when they've already discovered you and they're interested in more of the details about what you offer. So I think that's key, is making sure you're addressing all of their questions along the journey, and then that'll ultimately get them to a point where they feel confident enough with going with you, if that makes sense.
Okay. Now, have you seen organizations, because you do a lot of content marketing and audience research, have you seen organizations that use strong language or kind of specific language to really, like, edgy to the point of like, it's going to work or blow up? I mean, is that a strategy?
I think, yeah, there are companies out there who are doing that, and I think that's the way more companies need to go. I think that's going to make you stand out more,
right,
in addition to being able to speak to your target audience and use the same language that they're using and the same language they're thinking with.
Right. That's actually a good point. So you want to almost repeat back, or it's like they're talking to a friend.
Right, exactly. Right? You want to build that relationship with them.
Right, or a cool friend, though.
Right.
Right? So, like a cool friend.
Not an annoying friend.
Not an annoying friend. Wow. I mean, that's fascinating. So thinking about, that's interesting. So the role of marketing has changed and evolved and it transforms a company's voice in the market, and we've have the data to support the fact that inbound leads that are a function of great content produced for a persona, segmented by the buyer's journey, better lead flow, more qualified, they close faster and at a higher win rate. How can we apply that to the sales team? And so is sales, you know, are we basically looking at the end of sales and the end of sales organizations, and is the future of sales organizations bleak, or, you know, is there something that sales team can incorporate and adopt to once again drive this self-selection model? I mean, do you have any thoughts on the future of sales?
Yeah, I mean, I think that sales can use this to their advantage, and just the way and the speed at which they build those relationships. You're gonna build higher quality relationships, and you're gonna do it faster if you're doing it with the right tools and for the right reasons.
Right.
And when I say that, I mean knowing who you're talking to and knowing what they need from you rather than what you think they need from you.
Ah, yeah.
So it's really just getting that mindset that it's about them, not you. That's gonna allow them to trust you quicker. That's gonna allow them to have more of their questions answered right off the bat, so it's less that you have to deal with down the road once they've already become prospects, and, you know, you're having those meetings together and they're still confused about what you offer or how you can help them.
Right.
They're not gonna get to that point because they're gonna already know from that content that you created based on all that knowledge off the bat.
Right. Wow, that's awesome. In fact, I'm just thinking back about sales organizations I've worked with, and actually individual salespeople, I won't name names, Brandon. I named the name. But list building, right? How are lists built? Classic prospecting organizations build massive lists of thousands of names, and all they do, it's all firmographics, right? Industry type, revenue, company size, by title, 5x5, you know. And they load these massive lists simply because they fit a firmographic definition. There's not 1 ounce of persona in that list. And then also, like you mentioned, it's all about us. It's about the selling organization or the product we're pitching.
Yep.
And then about the audience, not about them. That's interesting. And so it's almost like prospectors are flying blind. Like, unless they go armed with personas and have an appreciation for the audience, prospectors are flying blind and just playing a volume game and telling a one-size-fits-all story. And in this day and age, you know, people can get access to whatever stories they want.
Yep.
So that's interesting. So if I'm, let's think about this. If I'm a salesperson and I'm in a prospecting role, or even a sales leader that has a team of prospectors, would you recommend, I guess maybe not so being far, you know, we took the attraction and repel discussion a little far. Like, would we use really strong language to elicit a response? And I've seen prospecting emails, but like, I guess how can sales use personas, right? So you have emails, you know, we send lots of emails. You can bank that language in emails. Social selling language, when you're talking and you're supporting and you're looking for a way to engage with individuals, even in the content asset. So, you know, can you think of other ways sales can use personas?
I mean, honestly, I may sound a little redundant here, but I think that personas can be used in any type of messaging that sales is putting out there, whether it's verbally, whether it's, you know, through content assets, whether it's through social. I mean, anything that you're doing, you want to keep those personas in mind.
Right, right. That's a good point. In fact, I've seen many prospecting organizations where the SDR, the inside sales rep, I've seen in one situation that team that used personas really well, where they literally said, "Hey, I've got a budget Barbara on the hook." And that was shorthand where the SDR said to the account exec with a signal, like they named their persona. And the persona budget Barbara, it was selling financial services software. And so the approach the account executive has to take is much more ROI driven, much more pragmatic, you know, very methodical, versus if you have like SAM strategy, then you know, the handoff from SDR to account executive can be, "Oh, I got a SAM strategy on the hook here. Oh, hey, we're going to shoot the lights out for you and it's going to be awesome," right? So
yeah.
I kind of like using personas. I've seen it used effectively as shorthand, so sales organizations can communicate effectively within themselves, but then even to the marketing team, right?
Right, right.
So we're all focused on the same goal.
Yeah, I like what you said. I mean, they really can inform the entire approach, not just specific pieces, but the entire approach.
So the good news is, because we work together, the organizations we work with, they have really well-documented content marketing strategies and personas and buyer's journeys, and then we help all the sales teams adopt that. So what if you have a sales team that doesn't have, say, a marketing department or marketing resources that haven't just had the bandwidth to build out personas? Like, would you recommend a way a salesperson can hack together a persona? Do you have any tips on how to hack together a persona?
Yeah, I actually think salespeople are quite equipped to develop personas on their own because they've had a lot of experience already. I mean, most of them have had experience dealing with their ideal customers or maybe the people who aren't ideal customers, you know, dealing with the target audience, figuring out what they need. So they already have that initial understanding of the people that they're going to be creating personas for. So, I mean, I think, like, building off of LinkedIn is a great first step. Right. I know a lot of salespeople use that social media channel actively, so that's a great step. And then just also gathering insights from your previous work with customers or prospects or, you know, your previous insights that you've experienced from, like, what questions are you answering over and over again?
Yeah, right.
You know, there's going to be common questions that come up all the time. Use that to inform your personas.
Right.
I mean, that's got to tell you something about your audience.
Yeah.
Dig deeper into those qualitative details rather than like, oh, our typical customer is 40 years old or, you know, whatever. And kind of put something together based on that. And it doesn't have to be anything in depth, just, you know, demographics, a picture, you know, background info, their pain points, what they're looking for, and then how you can help solve that.
Right. That's good, and I, this notion of what's productivity, it's having the right conversation at the right time with the right qualified candidate. So to the extent that, you know, if you're targeting everybody, you're targeting nobody. And if we literally lock in on a persona and we have the language and the things that resonate and like the triggers that resonate, you may end up alienating some prospects. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's cool. And they probably wouldn't have bought anyways. They'd be a waste of your time. So I kind of like that. I kind of like that idea. I like your recommendation of using LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, their education, their certifications, their skills that they're endorsed
exactly.
for, that all build. That's persona content, right?
Yep.
I mean, that's something you would use to build a persona.
Yep. And the things they do on a day-to-day basis for their job, you know, their job responsibilities, all of that could be beneficial to persona development.
Awesome. That's great. All right, so big cookies for everybody, right? Is that is that what that the takeaway? The key takeaway is if you go to every prospect with a giant cookie, like my wife did to me a long time ago, yeah, and she still bakes to this day, and it's not good. So, yeah, that's the whole idea. So I love it. This is great. So targeting based upon persona, getting away from the firmographics into more meaningful, authentic, relevant conversations will just, you know, drive productivity. And yep, it's about those close rates. So that's cool. Haley, this has been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed our conversation. Do you have any parting thoughts or you want to tell people where to find you?
You can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at HaleyHeight11.
Oh, 11. All yes. Right. There are 10 other Haley Heights out there that...
No, I just like the number 11.
Okay, that's cool. That's great. It's a good number. Okay, that's a wrap. It was great chatting with you this week. If you like the content, I would love a rating and review in iTunes. That's what helps new podcasts like this get discovered. And please send us your feedback. Please email me at jeff@publishorperish.fm, as in Frank Mary, with any comments, questions, or general observations. I always love hearing from you and love the conversations we get into. So with that, I hope we all think like marketers and sell like animals. Cheers. So let me hear you scream. Whoa. It's time for me to seize. Release me, I'm a beast. I know who it is we be. Let's change this world we see. Leaving these crumbs and seeds. It's time to bare our teeth. Well, I'm alive.